Praised be Jesus and Mary. Belonging to Christ is transformative. It's life-changing. That's what St. Paul tells us in today's second reading when he says, quote, whoever is in Christ is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We were made new creations in baptism when God canceled the sin which we had in our souls and he made us his adopted children. When we fell into sin again and fell into misery, we were reconciled with God and brought back into his friendship when we humbly confessed our serious sins in the sacrament of penance. The Greek word which St. Paul uses for reconciliation is katalage. The term indicates a repaired relationship between persons or groups who were formerly hostile or who were formerly at enmity with each other. And then St. Paul adds that God has given to the apostles the message and the ministry of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is the good news of the gospel. It's that God himself, in Jesus Christ, has died to pay the penalty for our sins. And the ministry of reconciliation is, first and foremost, the administering of those sacraments of baptism and of penance, which repair our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father. St. Paul said today, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God, 2 Corinthians 5:20. The parable that we heard in today's gospel deals with those two experiences, or these experiences of transformation and of reconciliation. It's the parable of the prodigal son found in the 15th chapter of St. Luke's gospel. The first few verses of the chapter give us the background for understanding the parable. It says that tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around our Lord to listen to him, and this caused the Pharisees and the scribes to murmur and grumble against Jesus, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Luke 15, verse 3. So after those words of outrage and of self-righteousness on the part of the religious leaders, Jesus responds to them by giving them three parables. He gives them first the parable of the lost sheep, which is in chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. And then after that, there's the parable of the lost coin. And then the last parable is today's parable, the parable of the prodigal son. And with these three parables, Jesus is trying to get the religious leaders to see something important which they've overlooked. In his denunciation of them, the scribes and Pharisees, in a different gospel, in Matthew's gospel, chapter 23, Jesus said this. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and yet have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. He says, you blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24. The Pharisees and the scribes had the problem of what we call majoring in the minors. They saw the Jewish faith as very legalistic and principally concerned with external behaviors and practices. What they overlooked was, those messages of redemption and salvation and healing and forgiveness and love of God and love of neighbor, all those big elephants in the room that they just never talked about. And particularly, as illustrated in these three parables, the religious leaders were blind to the fact that all of heaven really rejoices greatly when a sinner returns to God. There are parallels of this problem, of course, even today. One parallel I thought of was, some people, when they look at the World Youth Days, which the church sponsors and which the Pope attends, and sometimes they see the pictures of those young people all gathered together and almost as if they're reenacting the Woodstock Festival of 1969. Sometimes it kind of looks like that in the pictures. And some of the young people, perhaps even many of them, I don't know, are even behaving badly at some of these events, like a number of them did at Woodstock. Some people see those pictures or those videos or hear stories or even attend the World Youth Days, and they have a bit of a Pharisaical attitude, thinking that, at a quote-unquote Catholic event, everyone should look and behave and dress a certain way. Should Catholic young people dress modestly and behave virtuously? Of course they should. But the reality is not all of them do. And guess what? That's why Jesus goes out and he searches for them. You know, sometimes these and other Catholic events are more like Jesus in search of the lost sheep than anything else. When our young people, as we know, are immersed as they are in the culture of death, it should sadden us, but at the same time, it shouldn't surprise us if they're infected in some ways by their vices and by the problems of the culture. I mean, in his own public ministry, Jesus himself didn't encourage tax collectors and sinners to remain in sin. He didn't do that. But he did go out, and he actually met them where they were at. And he encouraged them to turn to God, to turn to him, so that they could have a changed life. So we do need to be careful at times about the judgments that we form in our minds regarding certain situations or certain persons. You know, our Lord expects us to cultivate in our minds and in our thoughts a spirit of mercy, not a judgmental or a critical spirit. If there are problems and I can correct them, then I should try to correct them. But a lot of things in life we just can't fix. We need to entrust those things that we can't fix or those situations or those persons to the Lord and pray for them rather than cultivating a spirit of criticism or even bitterness in our hearts, because it is a short step from being a faithful Catholic to turning into a self-righteous Pharisee on the one hand. It's a short step, but it's also a short step, on the other hand, from being a faithful Catholic to becoming a prodigal son as well. So we need to be careful. And that's kind of what our Lord is showing us in today's parable. Let's take a look at that. The two sons in the parable of the prodigal son are symbols of those two misguided paths that sometimes we can take. You know, on the one hand, we have the younger son who prefers to obey his feelings and his passions rather than to obey his parents, as young people often do. And so the younger son, when he's old enough to be on his own, he disowns his father. And we can think of young people who disown their faith when they get a little bit older as well. And he sets out to live life his own way. There's a scene, this reminded me of a scene in the movie, a movie on St. Augustine called Restless Heart, where his mother Monica is sending him off to the city of Carthage as a young man so that he can study under the famous rhetorician Macrobius. She was telling him, he was 17 years old, and she was telling him about the food that she'd packed for him in the bag, and she wanted him to be careful, all the things that a mother would say. And as the horse-drawn carriage rides away with the 17-year-old Augustine in the back of it, she shouts out to him, "May God be with you, my child, my son." And the young Augustine looks back and he responds to her, "God, all I need is myself. God, all I need is myself." That's actually the prodigal son for you. And unfortunately, it's many young people as well, today and even in the past. The other son in the parable is the good son who, as it turns out, isn't as good as he thought himself to be. He represents those scribes and Pharisees who were always by the side of their loving father in his house, as the scribes and Pharisees were always present and worshiping in the temple or in the synagogues throughout all of Israel. But one problem, they never understood their loving father. They never understood his character, and they never acquired the dispositions of his mind and heart. The younger son essentially goes from being a prince in the house of his loving father to becoming a slave in the house of Satan, as one of the commentators say. And believe it or not, that's when the transformation happens. That's when the young man enters into himself, as St. Augustine himself did at 31 years old when he was converted. For the prodigal son, it was on the farm when he was in misery and tending pigs that he acknowledged his sin and had what we might call a moment of holy nostalgia. Holy nostalgia, when he remembered the goodness of his loving father and how even the servants lived well under him. Nostalgia, which leads to repentance, is actually a good thing. We see that here in the story of the prodigal son who remembered the blessings of his father's house and converted and returned home. Nostalgia can also become a bad thing, though. It can lead to sin, like it did with the Israelites when they complained against God and against Moses. And when they were remembering, when they were in the desert, they were remembering how wonderful it was in Egypt, when they had fish and leeks and onions and cucumbers and melons to eat. Numbers chapter 11 talks all about it. They just forgot one thing, that they were slaves in Egypt and that they were complaining back then as well. So we need to be careful about what we're nostalgic about. If it brings us to the point of conversion and repentance, then it's a good thing. If not, be careful. Another thing to keep in mind, which is often overlooked in this parable, is that the prodigal son would probably have never repented if he always had his father wiring to him money on Western Union to bail him out every time he got into trouble. Always rescuing or bailing out wayward children is not godly. It's not godly. In fact, as long as parents continue to do that, the children often won't feel that they need to turn to God. And why should they? If every time I get into trouble and make poor decisions, if mom and dad bails me out, I don't need God in my life. As long as I have mom and dad, I don't need God to rescue me from the consequences of my sins or my poor choices. Problem with that is, in that way, what happens, many people remain immature, they remain irresponsible, and sadly, they remain far from God at the same time. No, the prodigal son actually had the grace to have a father who loved him so much and who was so wise as to realize that the best thing for his son was to bottom out. The best thing for his son was to feel the consequences of the bad behavior that he got into so that he could return to his senses and return to God. When that prodigal son entered within himself, God's grace was actually then able to transform him and reconcile him with the one who always had his arms outstretched, the one who was always ready to welcome his wayward children home and embrace him and restore him to the dignity as a child of his loving Heavenly Father. Now, in his Confessions, St. Augustine wrote this. He said, "Lord, I searched for you outside myself, while all along you were within me. You were in me, but I was not in you. Being admonished to return to myself, O Lord, I entered my own depths with you as my guide, and I was able to do it because you were my helper," says St. Augustine. And then he encourages us by telling us this. He says, "Do not go outside yourself, but enter into yourself, for truth dwells in the inner self." It's when we enter into the depths of our soul and of our own heart and into the depths of sometimes our own misery that we can actually see the image of God and that we can actually see his goodness within us and we can see that we can become new creations in Christ. That when we embrace the message of reconciliation and forgiveness that the gospel offers, and then we can turn to the ministers at that time of reconciliation and be received into the fullness of God's grace, even in the midst of our miseries, as St. Augustine himself was when he was baptized and received into the church by St. Ambrose when he was 32 years old. Or, if need be, we can return to God's grace through that precious sacrament of confession, of reconciliation. Now, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, let's just ask Our Lady, who's mother both of prodigal sons, and she's also a mother of the sons who don't leave the Heavenly Father's house, but who don't have the Heavenly Father's heart. Let's ask her to transform our minds and our hearts so that we can reflect the character of our good and loving Heavenly Father. Let's also ask her to bring many, many prodigal sons to their knees during this Lenten season, so that they can be reconciled to God and return to her divine Son by the time that he rises from the dead on Easter morning. Praised be Jesus and Mary.